Who owns the weather? In this moment, is there definitely a problem that needs to be solved, or is there only ever-changing appearance, endlessly solving and dissolving itself? In this moment, is there anything that needs to be different, or is this idea of a problem and search for a solution nothing more than passing thoughts, no more substantial than last night's dreams? When we read that paragraph today, I thought back to a story of something that I told James Ford, who was one of the founding teachers of Boundless Way Zen and is now emeritus, teaching out in California. And I feel lucky to have studied with James for the years that I did. And after a retreat one time, I went in and told him a story about what Sesshin was like for me. It had been a particularly difficult Sesshin. I think it was my first. And I remember sitting throughout the weekend and gritting my teeth, trying to keep away demons. And unfortunately, the demons won. They won on the last day, Sunday. I was too tired to keep fighting them off. So the demons broke through, and I cried. I just sobbed. And I still remember, of course, this would not be tolerated in our much stricter Zen practice of Boundless Way Zen today, but the person next to me left a little, during walking meditation, left a little tissue packet on my cushion. So the next time I came and was just a little fountain of tears and snot, I had a tissue to help myself. So I told him about how, you know, all weekend I had been doing this thing of Zen, you know, of just coming back to the breath, but that morning I couldn't. And, you know, I went with a thought. That's how I described it to him, and before I knew it, I was sobbing. It was an old, about a year old pain that I had been carrying with myself. It was actually a kind of traumatic experience of watching my daughter in a surgery in which she almost died. It was supposed to be just a very minor surgery that she went through, but the person who was putting tubes in her ears popped her carotid artery. And suddenly blood was pouring out of her ear and literally filling up bags. And I thought that she was going to die. After this experience, I never really cried about it. I never really felt it. And it was waiting for me at Sesshin. And when the thought rose on Sunday morning and just broke through, I couldn't turn away. And so I told James about this story. And James kind of nonchalantly responded. He said, "Well, that's yourself, isn't it?" That was it. That's all he said. No other advice, you know, no like, "Well, you know, next time." just that. That was yourself. So I've kind of brought that koan with me. Is that self still here? And of course, yes and no. No, not that self. That self is water under the bridge. Even the self that was meeting with James was not the same self as the one crying on the cushion the week before. Now so, so different from those many years ago. And yet there is, of course, some sort of selfing away, telling stories, remembering, sometimes struggling with a sense of powerlessness, like I was in that moment in the surgery. Sometimes there are things that are beyond our control. Sometimes it is the internal weather, and sometimes it is the external weather. Internal, external, frankly, I'm not sure that it matters. We wish we could hold on to the things we like and keep away the things that we don't. How frequently do we get into power struggles with the world, with life, and with our own hearts? How frequently do we wish we could take the reins and choose the outcome? Sometimes we're lucky and we can. And when we can, and hopefully when it is of benefit to ourselves and others, we should. But frequently we cannot. Frequently there are things that are out of our control, probably much more of the time than we think. There are many, many elements out of our control, and we do not get to pick the outcome. And yet we are involved. We are intimately involved in these different power struggles with life and outcomes. Whether it is someone we love who is sick, or it is ourselves who are sick, or it is our own emotions, or it is political, or it is about the state of the world. So, so many things where we do our best and then the outcome is not up to us. And of course, that is the heart of Zen. That is what we are doing here, sitting together. We are doing our best to be upright and be present and be awake. And much of the time, as you have probably found, at least for me, the outcome is not up to me. I don't get to pick the days where I sit in turmoil, recollecting something sad that I've not yet felt, or struggling with a desire for an outcome in the future. Those dreams just show up here on the cushion. So this chant is very interesting. It kind of pushes the question a bit. Is there actually anything that needs to be different? Now, you might answer by saying, well, yes, there is. You might even be right. But what's interesting is that our practice gets to include even the feeling that we are right, that something needs to be different. That's just yourself showing up. And in a day or a month or a year or 10 years, the self that shows up will not be the same. In fact, we will be unable to remember most of what actually arose. In fact, even when I told you that story about these many years ago at my first Sesshin, oh, it was tough to remember. I was sort of really doing my best to call back the narrative, but I can't entirely, of course, recall the sensations. I create them in my mind now with my imagination, but they are not the same. It's like that previous self is nothing more than a fantasy now that I'm conjuring up to tell a story. This is not to say that what we do does not matter. I was watching Treme the other day, and someone said, "Everything we do matters. Everything. It all plays out." And I thought, that's karma. So I posted it on Facebook. That is karma. Everything plays out. And nothing stays the same. So it's this interesting thing in Zen that everything plays out that causes, contribute to what comes. And we play some very, very, very small part in that giant, boundless picture of what is and what comes. And yet everything we do matters, because it is connected to that big picture, part of that big picture, inseparable from that big picture. And still, everything that happens is also like a dream. Here for an infinitely small second, so small that I can't even touch it before it flashes out of existence and the world arises again, completely new. Quite a mystery, this existence. So dreamlike, and yet so important. So it seems to me that it is not about trying to stop the self from doing what selves do. We are part of this dance of the cosmos. We are the dance of the cosmos. Each of us playing our part and doing our best. But there is a way that sitting helps us see simultaneously the way that these thoughts and feelings, the way that all of it is so ephemeral. That ephemerality doesn't need to mean that it doesn't matter or that it's not precious. It is precious. But there's some kind of relief in really seeing it. Some kind of lightness that comes with the recognition of ephemerality, particularly when we are in very difficult states. when we are really struggling with the desire for a particular outcome, to realize that the desire itself is just a desire, just a thought. And then we go on doing what we can.